All right, so today we're going to dive deep into a case that still has a big impact on how we think about student free speech, even decades later. It's Bethel School District versus Frazier.
Okay.
Supreme Court case from 1986, and it's still causing, still making waves, especially when it comes to what students can and cannot say at school.
Yeah.
You might be thinking, wait, didn't Tinker v. Des Moines already decide all this back in the 60s with the armbands?
Right.
Well, get ready. Because Frazier throws a curveball, especially when we're talking about the actual content of student speech.
So what's fascinating here is that Frazier makes us think about two really important ideas, freedom of speech and a school's authority to, like, keep things safe and orderly. It's like walking a tightrope. The court had to decide where the line is.
That's a great way to put it. This case really shows how tricky that balance can be. It all starts in 1983 at Bethel High School in Washington State. We've got Matthew Frazier, a high school student, and he's giving a speech at a school assembly. He's nominating a friend for student government. Seems like typical high school stuff, right?
Yeah, on the surface, yeah. But here's where it gets interesting. Frazier's speech. Not your typical campaign speech. I mean, it was full of suggestive metaphors, double entendres. Let's just say there were some phrases that would probably make a lawyer blush.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, think phrases like, he takes his point and pounds it in.
Oh, okay. In front of a whole assembly of 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
Wow. I can only imagine how that went over.
You can picture it. Awkward laughter, kids shifting in their seats, maybe even a teacher or two covering their ears. But here's the thing, and this is important. Frazier didn't just stumble into this. He was actually warned.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, by teachers.
Yeah.
They told him beforehand that his speech was inappropriate. They straight up told him to tone it down.
So he knew he was pushing it, and he just went for it anyway. That definitely changes things. Did the school, like, just let it slide?
Not a chance.
Yeah.
They suspended Frazier 3 days, and they took him off the list of graduation speakers. They were serious.
Wow, that's a strong response. So they're basically saying, this kind of language is not okay in our school.
Exactly. The school was saying they have a responsibility to create a decent learning environment to teach students about appropriate behavior. They saw Frazier's speech as disruptive.
Yeah.
Totally against their educational mission.
I can see their point, but I mean, wasn't Frazier just expressing himself? Even if some people found it offensive. Where do we draw the line between a school's authority and a student's right to free speech?
That's the core issue here. Frazier and his family felt like his First Amendment rights were violated. That's why they sued. It's this classic legal fight between individual rights and what institutions can, you know, control.
Okay, so we've got a student testing the limits, a school cracking down, and now a lawsuit. Sounds like a legal showdown brewing. Where did the case go from there?
Well, it went from district court up to the Ninth Circuit and finally landed in the Supreme Court. This is where it gets really interesting. You see, the lower courts actually sided with Frazier.
They did.
Yeah. They relied heavily on the Tinker precedent, which said students don't lose their constitutional rights at school.
Right.
But the Supreme Court in Frazier decided to go a different way.
Interesting. So we've got a conflict between the lower courts and the Supreme Court. Always makes things exciting. What was the Supreme Court's reasoning for going against Tinker?
The Supreme Court decided there's a difference between the type of speech protected in Tinker and what Frazier was doing. Tinker was about political speech.
Yeah.
Very protected under the First Amendment. But they saw Frazier's speech as something else entirely. They called it vulgar, lewd, disruptive to the school environment. And get this, they even overturned the lower court's rulings, 7-2.
7-2, that's a pretty clear message. So basically they're saying students have free speech rights, but there are limits, especially in school.
You got it. The court was wrestling with some big questions. Did the First Amendment protect Frazier's right to use that kind of language at school? And did the school go too far by punishing him, especially since he said he wasn't warned about the consequences?
Those are some serious questions. It sounds like there's a lot more to this. Let's take a closer look at the court's decision and what it means for student free speech.
So the Supreme Court in Frazier, they really had to figure out where the line is between a school keeping things under control and a student's right to say what they think. It wasn't just about whether, you know, the speech disrupted the school day. It was about the speech itself and why they felt it was too much for a school.
That makes sense. So how do they explain, like, why they went away from what Tinker said?
Well, Chief Justice Berger, he wrote the majority opinion, and he really focused on the difference between what Frazier said and what was going on in Tinker. In Tinker, it was about political speech.
Right.
which, you know, is very protected. He said schools have a duty to teach kids how to behave appropriately in society, and that includes protecting them from, as he put it, offensively lewd and indecent speech.
So the setting, like the assembly with a young audience, that mattered a lot to the court.
Absolutely. Berger even said, the First Amendment doesn't stop school officials from deciding that allowing a vulgar and lewd speech like Frazier's would mess up the school's basic educational mission. So to him, it was working against the school's goals, even if it didn't actually cause, you know, a disruption in the auditorium.
It sounds like they were trying to find that balance,
yeah.
right? Acknowledging students have free speech rights, but also saying those rights aren't unlimited, especially in a school.
Exactly. It's tricky. The court was saying schools need to be able to step in when a student goes too far, especially with vulgar or lewd speech, and especially in front of a captive audience of minors.
Yeah, makes sense. But did everyone agree with that? Weren't there some judges who disagreed?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Two justices dissented. And their opinions bring up some really important counterarguments to what the majority was saying. Justice Marshall, for example, he argued the school was overreacting, that there wasn't enough proof that Frazier's speech actually disrupted the school day. He basically said just because some people were offended doesn't mean the school can punish him.
Interesting. So he was more focused on the disruption part, like Tinker. If it didn't really disrupt the school day, then maybe it shouldn't be punished.
Yeah, that's right. He felt that the school hadn't shown that Frazier's speech stopped them from doing their job, you know, educating. He was worried about giving schools too much power to censor students just because someone thought it was inappropriate.
What about the other dissenting opinion? What did Justice Stevens have to say?
Justice Stevens, he went in a different direction. He zeroed in on due process. He argued that the school's rules against obscene language were way too vague and that Frazier didn't know his speech could get him suspended. Basically saying the school's punishment was random and that Frazier had no idea what was actually off limits.
Yeah, if schools are going to restrict what students can say, they need to have clear rules, right? Students should know what can get them in trouble.
Definitely. Justice Stevens was all about fairness and transparency. He was basically saying if you're going to punish a student for something they say, the rules need to be clear enough that any student would get it. It can't just be up to what one administrator thinks is offensive.
Okay, so we've got these different opinions from the court, all dealing with this question of how to protect student free speech while letting schools keep order.
Mm.
So how did Frazier actually change the law when it comes to student speech?
Well, it kind of created an exception to the broad protection for student speech that came from Tinker. It gave schools more power to restrict speech that's considered vulgar, lewd, or just plain offensive, even if it doesn't have a political message or cause a big disruption.
So it's not just about disruption, right? The content matters too.
Yeah. The court said things like the maturity level of the audience and whether the speech matches the school's mission, those matter too. It's a more nuanced approach, you know, looking at the context and the school environment.
That makes sense. I guess they were recognizing that schools are important for shaping young minds. And they need to set some boundaries when it comes to speech, especially when it goes against their goals.
Exactly. And that's where Frazier gets really interesting, especially when we think about applying these ideas to a world that's completely different from 1986. We're talking about the internet, where students are expressing themselves in ways that no one back then could have imagined.
Yeah, that's a great point. Let's talk about how Frazier plays out in the digital age, where students are online all the time, sharing their thoughts with everyone. Okay, so we've talked about Bethel versus Frazier, from a high school assembly all the way to the Supreme Court. But now, how do we take this 1986 case and apply it to today's world, the digital age?
Yeah, it's a challenge, right? The rules from Frazier were made for a time when student speech was basically limited to what happened at school.
Right.
But now with social media, those lines are so blurry. Like, what about a student posting something controversial on TikTok or Instagram? Does Frazier still matter?
That's the big question, right? Back then, it was all about assemblies and the school newspaper. Now kids have devices that can broadcast their thoughts to the whole world instantly. It's a whole different game.
And that's what makes it legally tricky. Courts are trying to figure out how to use those Frazier principles with online speech, especially when it happens outside of school hours and off campus.
So let's say, like a hypothetical, right? A student posts something on social media after school, at home. Maybe it's a rant about a teacher or a rumor about another student, but it spreads among classmates and causes problems. Can the school punish that student because of Frazier?
That's the gray area. There's no easy answer. It depends on a lot of things. Where did the speech come from? Was it aimed at the school community? Did it actually disrupt things at school? Could it be seen as harassment or bullying?
So it's not as simple as if it's off campus, it's okay. Schools might still be able to intervene, even if the speech happened outside school.
Exactly. Courts have actually supported schools disciplining students in cases where online speech, even if it started off campus, caused a major disruption at school, like threats or harassment that spills over into the school environment.
Makes sense. Schools have to keep things safe.
Right.
But what about those situations that are less clear-cut? What if it's something offensive or inappropriate, but not an actual threat?
Those are tough. Courts are still working that out. Remember what Justice Stevens said about vague rules?
Uh-huh.
That's even more important online. Schools need clear policies about online speech, and students need to understand what they do online can get them in trouble, even if it happens outside of school.
So it seems like we're in uncharted territory here. How can students and schools deal with this new world of online speech responsibly?
I think transparency and education are key. Schools need to have clear, detailed policies about online speech. Not just saying no bullying, but really explaining how social media and online interactions work. And they have to make sure students and parents understand these policies.
And students need to realize that what they do online has consequences.
For sure. It's important for students to learn how to be good digital citizens, to think before they post and realize their words can have a real impact, especially since everything online is, you know, amplified and stays there forever.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Bethel versus Frazier, it's clear that this case, even though it's from over 30 years ago, still matters today.
Yeah.
It reminds us that students do have free speech rights.
Uh-huh.
But those rights have limits, especially when you consider a school's responsibility to keep things orderly and create a positive environment for learning.
Definitely. And as technology keeps changing, we're going to see more legal challenges and debates about how to find that balance between free speech and safe, productive schools.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we'll leave you with this thought. How do we prepare the next generation of students and teachers to deal with the complexities of free speech in a digital world? That's something worth thinking about.